like to spend some time now on discussing an event that took place a couple of weeks ago. And that event is the passing of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman of Bnei Brak in Israel. Didn't really have a chance yet in Shul to talk about it. And figured a day today, like Asara B'Tavis, a day of fasting, a day of tshuva, is a day to talk about and to ponder some aspects of this very great man's life. Now, some of the things I may say today are things that maybe you've already read, but they're still worthwhile reviewing. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman lived in Bnei Brak, and he was recognized as the leader of the Lithuanian Haredi sector of Jews in Israel and of around the world. The non-Hasidic group of Orthodox Jews are Haredi Jews in Israel. Haredi is translated in English as ultra-Orthodox, whatever that word means exactly. But the Haredi community, the leadership of what is known as the Lithuanian Haredi sector, Rav Steinman was recognized as a leader and a leader of Haredi Jewry around the world. He passed away at the age of 104. And when he passed away, many things about him came out, or I should have, there were a number of things that came out about him that really revealed a very, very unique individual. And that the fact that people who didn't know him beforehand didn't know he was a unique individual, but his uniqueness came out publicly in a very strong way. And one of the ways that it came out was his will. I know if many of you have already read his will, but his will was read publicly at the funeral. And actually, this will was written in the year Tavshin Mem. Tavshin Mem is about 38 years ago. That's when he wrote the will, and he seemed to have added to it a little bit more 3 years later. And actually, he writes that he already thought about writing a will in the year Tavshin Yud Dalet. Tavshin Yud Dalet is already 26 years before he actually did it. That's when he considered writing a will. So you got to figure out between, he's 104 years old in 5778. How far back was he already considering writing a will? He was in his 60s when he was thinking about writing a will. And he said that he thought first about writing the will at a point of time. He doesn't say who it was, but it was a time, Bisman Kutzer, Gimel Gedolei Yisrael, three great people of the Jewish people had died in a short period of time during that year. And that's what got him to thinking, to deciding to write a will. And he writes, V'hiratzen she'eskel esakim b'tshuva shalema ma'asha'ovar. It should be the will of Hashem, I should be merit to rectify whatever I've done wrong in the past. V'lizkais la'avdei k'ritzeno yisparach, and to serve him, and to be merit to serve him according to his will. Now, some of these things in the will are really interesting because of the fact that these are not things that, I mean, some of these things you've heard people throughout history have done. But some of the things that he mentions in his will are not typical. You don't find people, even great people, leaving these things in their will. I would say typically. I'm not saying there's no one. But typically you don't find it. And again, there's so many of them coming together in this will. It's mind-boggling. So the first thing that he wrote is, Avakish ma'oid loy las bideni. I ask you strongly, do not eulogize me. Do not eulogize me. Loi b'fanai, v'loi shaloi b'fanai. Not in front of me, not in front of me. V'loi lasais ateris is oiribus. Not to make a gathering of inspiration. Oi ateris avel, or a gathering of mourning. Oi komine shemai shabaydim, or using whatever words they want to use for these gatherings. V'akavana behem lahaspid, where the intention is to eulogize me. No eulogies. Now, this part of his will was fulfilled at the funeral, but doesn't seem to be being fulfilled anymore after the funeral, as time goes on. And that is because, as a gadol hador, as a leader of the generation, it is brought down that You don't have to listen to that request because of his greatness. But clearly it was fulfilled at the funeral. There were no eulogies. Now, number two. Do not mention anything about me in any newspapers, daily, weekly, or monthly. Do not print my picture. And also not the way people do, they write the whole history of the person. I don't want any of that, he says. Okay? This is why there was a point of time that I was online. And I'm looking, and I was on one of the things that I look at, matzah.com. And somebody said, did you hear Rav Steinman passed away? I said, really? It wasn't even mentioned. And like a day is going by, 2 days going by, there's no mention. And I found out why. Because they were following his tzavah, they're following his will. Do not mention me. Gimel. Lo lahatfis meidais al levaya. Not to print out any advertisements about the funeral. You know, it's Israel, when somebody passes away, the place is plastered with these notices about a person, about a levaya. Nor to announce it over a loudspeaker. They also sometimes have a car driving around, and the loudspeaker, the person's announcing the funeral. A radio, it shouldn't be on the radio. Masbik shiyya rakasara noshim alavaya. It's enough for a minion to be at the funeral. Don't need anybody. I don't need more than a minion. It's enough to have 10 people at the funeral. There were 200,000 people at the funeral at the end. But that's enough. 10 people at the funeral. You don't have to announce it. You're not going to make a big fuss about it. 10 people is enough. As a matter of fact, I think I quickly saw somewhere that at a certain point during the funeral, they actually whisked off the body to the gravesite, and there were just actually a minion there. I'm not going to, I think I read that somewhere, if I remember correctly. Okay, Dalid, 4. Lishtado shaloi lahashais ben misa lekfura. To put an effort not to delay between death and burial. Rak lezarish yiyah kavura hachisamach lemisa. To be careful to make sure that the burial should be as soon as possible after the passing. Okay, 5. Mekaymi beisachayim. My place in the funeral. Ben anoshim pshutim. Amongst simple people. Typically, a great person is buried amongst other great people. Now, I don't know, it sounds like here his request, or maybe he had already set it up that way. Mekaymi, my place in this cemetery, ben anoshim pshutim, is amongst simple people. That's how he saw himself. That's where I'm buried. 6. Lelichtav al batseva shum tayarim. Don't write on the monument any titles. Not Rosh Hashiva of Goyen Yaakov, not Rosh Hashiva of no titles. Rak poi nikba rabarin yehudalei, but rabnoyach tzvi Steinman. That's it. That's what should be on the monument, not more. On the stone. Okay. 7. Hamatzeva tiya achi zula pshuta. The monument should be the most inexpensive and simple. Le'levaz reis kesef avor kniyas mokim beis hakvarish ele b'yoyker. Not to spend money on buying an expensive grave. You know, graves are going to be very expensive, especially in the places where the other people buried there are considered very, 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 very important people. Okay. So therefore, simple grave. No, don't spend too much money on my grave. On days that people have accustomed to go visit a grave. Like at the end of Shiva, or at the end of the 30 days, or on a yard site. Those are days that it's a very accepted practice to go visit the grave. Do not spend too much time on it. If it's going to take too much time to go visit the grave, you know what you should do? If I understand it correctly, 24-hour period, learn straight, and don't talk any idle chatter. That's what you should do on those days. Don't have to spend so much time on visiting the grave. Instead, basically take the day, learn the whole day, and don't waste any time, and don't take no idle chatter. Okay, next. Imal yadei achipos limtzei makam lispal lefnei ha'emer yigrim harbi bitol tayra. If not, to look for an Ummid, right? The parent passes away. You're looking for the Ummid. You're looking for an Ummid to daven by. If looking for a place to daven before the Ummid is going to cause a lot of bittul Torah, it's going to use up a lot of time instead of studying Torah to go look. Better to learn Torah L'Shem Shemayim during that period of time. Avakesh kol mi sharetze b'teivasi. I request anybody who wants to do something for me, what should you do? Yilmud kol yoyim perik echad mishnayis. Ad gemar yud beis chodesh. Until the end of the 12th month, learn a perik of mishnayis every day for me. Okay, then he writes about his writings. Only print that which he went through and was ready to print. 11. Avakesh, I request. Loi lahaskireide b'shem tzaddik o yirei shemayim. Do not mention me as a tzaddik or a God-fearing person. Why? Kadei shaloi esbaza ayideze ba'olam ha'elyon. So that I shouldn't be shamed in the higher world. If in the higher world they hear me being called a tzaddik and I'm really not, that's going to be bizyonis. That's going to be very embarrassing. So do me a favor. Don't call me a tzaddik. Don't call me a reishamayim. Avakash moed mechila mikomi shepagati bechvedei. I ask forgiveness from anybody that I have embarrassed him, have blemished his honor. Chen mi sha'ani chai v'lo kesef v'lo yedua shebemitzi v'lo yedua. Or let's say I owe somebody money, but it's not known and therefore not able to be collected. Please forgive me that. Okay, next. The last one I'm going to mention is Heyosha Arbe Tayinbi. Being that many people are mistaken about me. From my part, I advise. Listen to this one. This is my babbling. No kid should be named after me. Avaleni Oyser has that, but I don't forbid it. That's just mind-boggling. Unbelievable. Okay. So, as you can see, we were dealing with a very unique individual. Now, his uniqueness did not go unnoticed. I have here an article from H.com, an article from someone who wrote that members of the Knesset, Meirav Michaeli and Itzhak Shmuli, you know them? Yeah. I don't think they're from any of the religious parties. Okay. Posted the entire will on their pages for their followers. Even these people were so taken back, were so impressed by this will that
the
they
first name of Michaeli what?
Meirav.
Oh, she's a disaster. Really? Oh.
It's
like
a she.
The worst of the worst of the worst.
Okay. Okay, so here you have someone that is extreme, that is probably anti-religious, who posted this on her website, on her pages, whatever, maybe Facebook pages probably. Okay, because everybody realized that, you know, this is very unique. This is unbelievable. He also brings down that there is a radio show on Galei Tzahal, and this is a popular radio presenter. His name is Razi Barkai. And Razi Barkai, they have an English translation of a monologue that he said on the day after the funeral. I listened to it in Hebrew, so the translation is pretty accurate. So he said like this. Yesterday took me 2 hours to get home from the studio. A journey that normally takes me just 20 minutes. I was furious and cursed the delays. But I saw crowds of thousands of young and old people who parked their car at the side of the road to set off toward Bnei Brak on foot, walking 10 or 15 kilometers. It was obvious that they would not get to the funeral on time, but nevertheless they decided to walk, even though they knew that they would have to walk the same distance back to their cars. It was a surreal scene, and at the same time an awe-inspiring one. When I was a young child, I would go on foot to the Ramat Gan Stadium to watch legendary football goalkeeper Yaakov Hodorov in action. But I would never even consider going on foot to the funeral of a 104-year-old man. But then my curses turned into a kind of jealousy for this devotion. This is a person, again, the person writing this article says that he typically starts his program with a tirade against the Haredi community. And this is what this person, without even talking about Rev Steinman himself, just seeing the people's devotion was something that impressed them, that made a tremendous impression upon him. Now, another thing that they bring down here, that he brings out in this article, is a video that he sent went viral this week. I saw this video a number of years ago. It's a very interesting video. It's a video where it's a mixture of Rav Steinman and a Rav having a discussion. It switches back between Ivrit and Yiddish. And it's a video clip that whoever entitled it called it Gaiva, 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 which means arrogance, arrogance, arrogance. And in this video, what happens is like this. There is a Rav. If I recognize him, he's a Rosh Yeshiva of many yeshivas. And he brings forth to Rav Steinman, by the way, also, if you ever saw Rav Steinman's house, you could see how empty and simple it was. I mean, I don't even know if the man had a chair. I think every picture you're seeing him sitting there, he's sitting on his bed. Very, very austere.
I was in his house and I saw.
What?
I didn't see him. He wasn't there, but I saw the bed. Just the bed.
Just the bed. Just the bed. There's not even a chair there. Not even a chair. And so he's sitting there. And this video had to have been, again, I don't know how long ago, but you're still sharp and everything. And so the question was like this. This Yeshiva, again, he has a number of different yeshivas all around Eretz Yisrael. And one principal asked him to present the following shaila to Rav Steinman. So there was a man in Beit Shemesh who was getting remarried to a woman from Bnei Brak. And she was moving to Beit Shemesh with him. And he had a couple of kids, and she had a couple of kids. And he wanted to enroll her children in the cheder, in the school that I'm assuming his children were already in. And this woman from Bnei Brak was described by this Rosh Yeshiva as, there's a Hebrew word there that I don't know exactly what it means when they describe her. Patuach. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I figured so. She's a frum woman, frum family. She's a little worldly. Little worldly. And it seems that some of the parents in that cheder felt that her children are just not going to be matim. They're not. It's not going to fit in. It's not going to be good. And so if Steinman says, "Well, this person needs a place for his children," so the yeshiva says, why does it have to be this cheder? It could be a different school. It could be a different school. So Steinman said, but this man wants this school. He feels for his kids, this is the school. But the children aren't going to be matim. They're not going to fit in properly. So Steinman says to the Rosh Yeshiva, how do you know? Who's able to know? So he responds, there's one parent that says he knows. He knows they won't fit in. At that point, Rav Steinman gets excited. And he says, there are people who just want gaiva, gaiva, gaiva. They just want arrogance, arrogance, arrogance. Don't say on that person he's God-fearing. Don't say a person is a tzaddik. He's a bal gaiva. He's an arrogant person. And he's he doesn't get angry, but you see, he's very strong about it. So then the Rashiva responds, yeah, but this person, he's a big Talmud Chacham. So Steinman says, is that grace a bal gaiva? He's a big bal gaiva. He was very strong about it. Like how can you be this way? And of course, trying to say, well, it may not be a good influence on the kids and stuff like that. So Rav Steinman responded that Rav Steinman comes from Brisk. He was born in the city of Brisk. And he said that the Brisk Rav had a school. He had a Talmud Torah. And he had a cheder. He says, who went to the cheder? He says, everybody went to the cheder. All types went to the cheder. He says, and I learned there, and Reb David Soloveitchik learned there, and he said, he said, you know, you're worried about children getting messed up. He says, children in the best chadarim get messed up. He says, in your cheder, children don't have problems. So again, you see from this video the unbelievable midas, the character that this man had, and the love that he had for everyone, and the care that he had for everyone, and that these kinds of things he was not going to tolerate. Now, you know, whenever you hear these kinds, I feel that whenever you hear these kinds of stories, or even you see it, right, and you see a reaction that a great person is giving, is commenting or rendering a decision about a certain situation, you can't necessarily take that for everywhere. Can't take that for everywhere. Simon is not saying that, you know, that every school has to open up its doors to everyone. It doesn't have to be that. But in this situation, right, he felt it should be that way. And again, you know, he was going a little bit against, he was going against the tide about how some people feel about the fact that, you know, that we can only let in this type and not that type. And just to see how he called in this case, but again, to a certain degree, showing that it's, he called it a gaiva, he called it an arrogance, is that something, which means we have to be careful that before, when we start doing these things and making differences between people and deciding what exactly we can do and to whom we can do things with, we've got to take into account, we can't make quick assumptions and cut off people so quickly. We have to be careful to make sure these are not acts of gaiva, acts of arrogance. Again, I'm not saying that this story of Reb Steinman means, you know, everything goes and there's no such thing as deciding who comes into a place, who doesn't come into a place. But again, just in this situation, you see very clearly his care that he had for Klal Yisrael. And that very often, I used to also see that sometimes when certain events came up, that Gedolim felt should be something that should arouse people to some form of tshuva, some form of self-improvement, Reb Steinman always spoke about character, midas tovus. He always spoke about character traits. He always spoke about that a person should take on himself to better his interaction with others and his character. Those were the things that he always spoke about. And in a time of tzara, in a time of trouble, how we should respond, what kind of tshuva we should do. I just want to conclude with something that again he brings down here in this article. The Reb Steinman made the following comment. Okay, he said like this. When we speak about secular Jews, the Chilonim in Israel, we say that they should abandon their habits of eating non-kosher food and becoming religious. We think that we don't eat impure food. That is not true. We do eat impure foods. Senseless hatred, divisiveness, and all the behavior in our dealings with others. That's our tarfus. That's the non-kosher, that's the impure that we are taking in ourselves. Sinas chinam. That's the tarfus, that's the treif that we're taking in ourselves. So we should contemplate this great man's life and by trying to adopt some of the lessons that he imparted to us, should be a schus for his neshama, and he should be a melech tzeis of Klal Yisrael.